MechCast, Saturday, March 12th, 2011. Mech Geeks, it's time for your MechCast, the show for Mech Geeks by Mech Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the show. We're going to do an iPad 2 show today, mostly because, well, the iPad 2 was released just yesterday on Friday, March 11th. I went out like a lot of us and stood in line and got my iPad 2, so I'm going to be bringing you my thoughts and opinions on that on a future episode of the MechCast, but today I want to run down what's been going on in terms of the iPad 2 supply and what the predictions are, some details that we now know since it has been taken apart, and we can get some down into some of the nitty-gritty tech specs that Apple hasn't provided for us. And then I have some tips for you along with my iPad 2 line interviews. So it should be a fun show. We're going to have a good time. Before we dive into it, I want to take a quick moment. Thank one of our show sponsors, Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. You know, I thought one cool thing we could do, I've told you about Notebook quite often. You should go check it out over at circusponies.com. But many of you have asked me for tips and tricks on using Circus Ponies Notebook. And one really cool thing that Notebook does when you get the software is it provides some starting points. Because as I've mentioned, you can do a lot of different things with Notebook. You can use it for to-do lists. You can use it for getting organized with all sorts of things, keeping track of, say, a media library or maybe recipes, just taking notes. And so they give you some pretty easy ways to get up and running quickly. They have templates built in. So if you launch the application, you go under the File menu and choose New from Starting Point. Instead of just doing a new blank notebook, you can do New from Starting Point. And if you'd like to have that come up every time you launch the program, there's a little checkbox that says Show at Startup. Check that box and you'll always get this little dialogue. But in the dialogue, it gives you all kinds of helpful templates that you can start out with to get going quickly. So for example, there's a to-do template, and that's going to set up a notebook that has checkboxes, has priority stickers, has a due date column where you can fill in due dates, and then tabs already set up for specific things like delegated actions, projects, and stuff like that to help you get organized with those sorts of things. And another great example is notes or getting ready for class if you're in high school or college. They have Get Organized for High School, Get Organized for College. That's going to give you things like tabs to put information about your academic advisors if you're in college, to throw in your course schedule and your classes. It'll set up note pages within those classes for doing things like gathering assignments, taking notes, and writing papers, doing your research and stuff like that. If you want to get even more information, there's great Getting Started tutorials on the website done by Don McAllister of Screencasts Online fame. And it's just a really great program, easy to get up and running, and they have free demos and trials available on the website. So check it out, circusponies.com, and a big thank you to them for their support of the MacCast. So as I was mentioning at the intro, iPad 2 was released this Friday. Many of us went out and stood in line, myself included. They did seem to have some problems in terms of availability on the different models. You know, with 18 different model variations now, because they have the two 3G versions, the Verizon 3G and the AT&T 3G, I think it did cause some distribution issues for Apple in terms of deciding how many units went to each location, each store, and it's been a real mixed bag. Some stores had the complete complement and lineup, it seeming like. Others were having shortages in certain areas. And it also does seem to ring true, some of the rumors we were hearing before the iPad 2 launch, that Apple maybe didn't get the quantities they wanted for launch day. I have to wonder if the delay of the online sales didn't start until the morning of the 11th and quickly fell back to having very long ship and lead times, which says to me that Apple doesn't have a lot of inventory in stock, or what they did have in stock seems to have gone out to all the stores. And even there, Apple seemingly hasn't been able to meet demand. The Fifth Avenue store in New York City actually reported longer lines than for the first generation iPad, over 1,000 people, and I think they had just under 1,000 for the first gen iPad. As far as how many units may have been sold, early estimates are coming in. Gene Munster is saying 400 to 500,000 iPads, which again would be consistent with the numbers we were hearing pre-launch, that Apple had really wanted 600,000, 800,000 units on launch day, but maybe only got about 400,000 or 600,000 units. And early predictions are saying 600,000 units Apple might sell in the opening launch weekend. But as I was saying, a lot of the reports from you and others are coming in. Third-party retailers like Walmart, Best Buy, Apple had a lot more distribution points for the iPad 2. But beyond the Apple retail stores in terms of inventory, it's sounding like retailers like Walmart, Best Buy, Sam's Club, Target, some of these other places had really low quantities and really low selection. I heard reports like one Target store only had 64 gigabyte Wi-Fi units, and they only had five of them. A lot of retailers, Best Buy, were reporting 10 units. I had a report from a MacCast listener at a Walmart who said they had 10 units. They were all Wi-Fi units and only two in the white. So a lot of people, what they were finding, if they didn't get in line early, if they didn't wait in line, they were finding that they either had not the unit that they wanted to get, or so they had to either get a larger, more storage. Maybe you wanted a 32, you ended up with a 64, or you weren't able to get the white one, you had to get the black one. So there was a lot of compromising going on, especially for those who were further back in the lines. Apple seems to really have issues with the 3G versions because they have so many different models and variations. For example, the store I was waiting at, the Apple store, they were out of several of the AT&T and Verizon units. They actually didn't get them in at all. So I think like 16 gigabyte white Verizon 3G, for example, they didn't have in stock. They didn't even receive units in those sizes. So somebody waiting in line who wanted that either had to make a change at the last minute or went away disappointed. And we are getting some of those reports. There were similar stores at other Apple retail stores. As I already mentioned, the Walmart stores, a lot of them didn't even have, or possibly all of them, I haven't been able to follow up on this yet, but didn't have 3G models. That was the case at the store here in San Diego. I have to wonder if that maybe Apple was distributing the 3G versions to the AT&T and Verizon stores, if you'd have better luck going to one of those locations to get a 3G model, because it did seem like the retail stores, even at Apple, kind of had shortages on different models. The Wi-Fi models did seem to be in pretty good supply and across the range. As far as sizes of the lines, I'm hearing really mixed reports. The location I was at here in San Diego maybe grew to just over 100 people in line by the time 5 p.m. rolled around. That was the launch time across the country, 5 p.m. local time. But other locations were reporting lines in the 300, 400, 500 range. And as I mentioned, New York even had some over 1,000. So it was really kind of a mixed bag. San Diego may be a little bit skewed because we do have an unusually high number of Apple retail stores in this region. I think I have about five or six within an hour drive. And some people have to drive 3 hours to even get to an Apple retail store. Certainly, it's seeming that demand was higher than expected. And that was the case probably just by doing some quick checking on the line at my location. I was noticing a number of people were in line for their very first time. They had never waited in an Apple line before. And also, a lot of them were there getting their very first iPad. It was about 50-50. And again, I just asked a few people here and there, so those aren't hard numbers. But it did seem like about half the people were new to the iPad. This was the first iPad they were getting, and then several people were doing upgrades. There were some reports, too, that certain locations were not limiting the number of iPads people could buy early on, and that several stores were having their stocks sold out by the people at the front of the line. So people buying 6, 7, 8 iPads. At my Apple retail store, they were limiting everybody to 2 iPads. So I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that was bad communication on Apple's part to its retail employees, but that was also causing some stress on launch day. things weren't even really better for those who wanted to order online. Apple started the online sales at 12:01 Pacific time, I believe, on the morning of the 11th. I checked in at about 12:30 a.m., and the ship times or shipping estimates were already set for not shipping till March 18th, and then delivery time after the ship date was 3 to 5 days. And then by the morning, we were already hearing ship times of 2 to 3 weeks, and that seems to be where they're at now. So I think Apple is kind of trickling out supply. They're trying to mitigate or meet supply and demand, the number of iPads they can actually produce versus how many orders they have and how many they can ship. If you want to pick up an iPad and you want to get it as quickly as possible, Apple's usually pretty good, even after launch day, or they have historically in the past been pretty good about getting units to stores. So every day, stores will receive new shipments for the foreseeable future. Again, I'm making the assumption that the supply chain, Apple has it set up so that they do have new units coming in to the country every day, and I would imagine that's going to happen. We also are looming on, Apple has about 2 weeks to get supplies up for the international launch, but I think we might see a repeat of what we've seen on this launch day, and we'll keep an eye on it over the weekend. But internationally, I think there's going to be shortages as well. Apple is, for this one, I think, caught a little off guard. I was actually even caught a little off guard. I didn't think demand was going to be quite as high as some of the reports that we're hearing. But a lot of people are very excited about the iPad 2, and they're lining up to get it. As far as what people are buying, all of the evidence we have right now is anecdotal. We're getting some reports from services like MobClicks. They did some interviewing of people in line, although their sample size was about 50. I think a lot of people have done other reports, but their numbers showed that 70% of the people already owned an iPad 1, that 20% were buying the 3G model. As I already mentioned, based on my numbers, the polling I did on my line, those seem a little bit high, and I'm also getting reports from several of you, and that seems to be more consistent with what I was seeing, where there's a lot of people that are picking up the iPad 2 for the very first time who had held off and waited, and you'll hear a little bit later some comments and interviews from some of the people that I talked to when we get to that segment of the show. The verdicts are starting to come in on the new iPad 2 now that they're out and we're getting a lot more information. Most of the reviews I'm seeing are very positive in terms of the speed, in terms of the form factor. People are liking the new design. They're liking the thinness. They say the rounded edges make it a little bit easier for you to hold in your hand, that it does feel noticeably lighter, even though it's just about, 0.2 pounds lighter, so not a lot lighter, but people say it seems lighter. A lot faster in terms of the performance, likely due to what is confirmed now to be the dual-core 1 gigahertz processor. So this is the first iOS device that Apple's put a dual-core processor in. That's the new A5. MacFixit quickly did their teardown. As a matter of fact, I was in line in California, and I still had an hour to wait, and they had already tore down the iPad 2 and were starting to release some of the specs. So head over to iFixit.com if you want to see all the guts laid out, and they have a great video over on YouTube that kind of summarizes all of the details that they found. But 1 gigahertz dual core A5, they noted that the manufacturing dates that were stamped on the chip itself for their model were dated late January to early February, so it seems like Apple was ramping up production right up until the very last minute, which again kind of validates or makes it seem plausible that they were rushing to get supplies ready for launch. The big question everybody wanted to know was how much RAM is in the model. 512 megabytes of RAM, as many people predicted. That's the same as the iPhone 4. Compared to some of the competitors that are coming out, the Zoom tablets and things like that, those have 1 gigabyte. So Apple is about half the RAM. But for me, it all comes down to what is the performance like. And everybody's saying the thing is really snappy and feels good. So I don't think we're going to run into any memory problems even with just the 512. The battery did get bumped up just slightly, but it's teeny tiny. I don't think anything to make a noticeable difference in terms of the battery life, and Apple's already stated it gets the same battery life as the prior model. So with the dual core processor and some of the other things, you'd think it'd be drawing a little bit more power. So Apple must have done some other tweaking either in the software or some of the other management systems to get the battery life to be the same. But it's a 3.8 volt, 25 watt hour unit. The original iPad had a 24.8 watt unit battery. So just 0.2 watts difference. So really nothing very significant. One place that Apple probably saved some space to get things thinner is iFixit is reporting that the glass is actually 27% thinner. The overall iPad, Apple claims, is 33% thinner. So that is seeming like an area where Apple gained some of the thinness. The glass is actually glued to the digitizer, and there are no clips. So iFixit reports that it makes it much harder to remove the glass. They actually had to use a heat gun and be very careful about prying the glass off. So that's going to make repairing or getting at the components quite a bit more difficult. And because the glass is thinner, they did raise some concerns over the durability. So we're going to have to find out on reports like that. I'm sure we're going to see some of those crazy people dropping iPads to see how easily the glass breaks. But it might be a bit more delicate unless Apple's done some things or worked with the folks who make that Gorilla Glass to really harden that up and still get the glass to be thinner. But could be a concern in the long run. As far as how the cameras go, they are low megapixel cameras. That forward-facing camera is the VGA resolution, 600 by 800. And according to iFixit, the back camera, even though it's a 720p 30 frame per second video camera, they're claiming that the resolution of that camera is under 1 megapixel. So not going to be taking a lot of really great snapshots with that. Again, you have to kind of take all these specs with a grain of salt, because at the end of the day, I think Apple doesn't disclose a lot of the details and information, because for most of us, it comes down to real-world performance. So if you're taking pictures and you're happy with the quality for, say, sharing online or Facebook or sending an email, it might be a good enough camera for you. And I think from a practical standpoint, a lot of people aren't going to be pulling out their iPads to actually take photos. You might shoot some video with it, but you're probably going to be using another source like an iPhone, an iPod Touch, or a standard pocket, you know, video camera or point and shoot still camera. The speakers definitely did not get larger. As a matter of fact, iFixit is saying that they are extremely small. They're calling it almost an afterthought for putting speakers in. I haven't gotten any reports yet on the sound quality. I'll be doing some testing with my own, and I will report back to you when I have that information. According to Cult of Mac, this is something interesting on the 3G models. They're saying all of the 3G iPad 2 models are sold unlocked. Of course, you need a supported carrier. So in the US, that means if you buy the CDMA version of the iPad, you still have to go with Verizon as your service provider. And on the GSM network, you need to go with AT&T. T-Mobile, some of the other carriers don't support it on their network. So even though it's an unlocked device and you can get a SIM from those carriers, I'm assuming you're not just going to be able to get a SIM and throw it in the device. I don't know how that translates internationally. If you'll be able to take your iPad internationally and get the SIM from another country and pop it in and use it over there. I'm sure we're going to be getting some reports on that. But Cult of Mac's claim is that it is an unlocked device. The good news on that side of things is that I had a number of you ask me, I am grandfathered in on the unlimited data plan from my iPad 1. I'd like to carry that over to my new iPad 2. Do I just need to transfer the SIM? And that will work. So if you have that unlimited data plan, you can just take the SIM out of your iPad 1, put it in your AT&T iPad 2, and away you go. Verizon, this is the first time they've had the iPad, so you have to go with their current data plans. Lastly, the other report we're getting is that some people are noticing the yellow tint screen issue that we saw with the original iPad. This information is coming out of 9to5 Mac. If you remember, the iPads had this problem last year, and what it came down to was some of the glue that is used to marry the glass to the digitizer plate. Apple's manufacturing these things and getting them out of the factory so quickly that glue isn't quite completely dried, and it leaves some residue that can show up. It looks almost like a light leak on the edge of the screen. If you pull up one of the applications that runs in the iPhone, the 1X mode, so that you have black all the way around that, you can sometimes see it in a Lightroom. You'll see this sort of yellow light leaking color near the edges. That actually should go away as the glue dried, and we seem to be getting confirmation reports of that. Or the people who've reported the issues, they've noted that several hours later or the next day, the issue is gone. So if you do see that on your iPad, don't worry. You don't need to return it to Apple. Just wait a couple days, and it should resolve itself naturally. So that's kind of the reports that I have. I want to jump in now and give you some of the line interviews. I talked to a number of folks about why they were in line at the Apple retail store. You know, if we were all just crazy or just big Apple fans. And I have to say, if you've never been to an Apple release event or a launch event, a number of people that I talked to in the line, this was their very first time. And we all had a great time. Apple brings out coffee and water, and the Apple employees are real cordial. It's just hanging out with the Mac community, sharing tips and tricks, talking about the different models and units you're going to get. And it's a lot of fun. So it sounds like it would be a lot of work. It is kind of a grueling day. By the end of it, you're ready to just get your new iPad or your iOS device, whatever Apple happens to be selling, and get out of there. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun too. So you'll hear that in these interviews, and I hope you enjoy them. So here's how it went down at the Carlsbad Apple store in North County, San Diego, where I was hanging out. So I'm at the Carlsbad Apple store, and it is iPad 2 release day, and I'm up here at the front of the line with the very first guy here, and that's Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Okay, so I have to ask, well, first of all, what time did you get here?
I got here at 3:45 yesterday.
3:45 in the morning?
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Yes.
So you spent the night here?
I spent the night here.
Were you able to stay in your car, or did you have to stay in line?
I actually did spend a lot of it in the car. Staying warm because nobody was here, and I popped out every now and then and walked around.
Yeah. And so, how have the people been here? I'm assuming the Apple employees were here when you got here and left. Have they been pretty good?
Yeah, actually, they've been great. They've been really excited to see me here. In fact, they've been coming out. Several of them coming out, thanking me for being here and telling me how excited it is to see people lining up. So,
yeah. So, is this your first iPad, or are you upgrading, or what's going on?
I am upgrading. I do currently own the iPad 1, and I'm going to be upgrading to the iPad 2 today.
Was there anything specific about this one? Because some people are saying, you know, it's not a huge revolutionary change. There's some nice upgrades. Is there any one particular feature that made you want to upgrade, or just like me, you're a huge Apple fan?
Well, really, the reality is I'm just a huge Apple fan. That's the bottom line. I told myself I wasn't going to upgrade, and then, of course, I upgrade. I do this every time. Every iPhone I've upgraded with, and now every iPad I'm doing the exact same thing with. I do like some of the new features. I think that there were a lot of rumors coming out about the iPad, but Apple's not really beholden to those rumors, and I think they've done a great job with what they've put out for us.
So is there one feature that you're really excited about trying out?
I really like, not necessarily as a feature, but the new form factor. How skinny it is, the size, the shape, and the weight. Just that change in general, I think, is going to make a lot of difference.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to actually get our hands on one in a couple hours here. So it's about 8 a.m. right now. Just with your current iPad, I'm curious about usage. When you bought it, did you have a specific use in mind for it? And has that changed over your ownership? And do you think you're going to be using the iPad 2 in the same way?
It has changed. I originally got it thinking I would use it mostly for Netflix, Hulu, that kind of stuff. Since then, I've actually started a blog where I do app reviews and all iOS-type reviews. And one of the things that I've been doing is doing all my reviews on an iOS device. So I write all my reviews on my iPad. So I use that to do 100% of it. So now it's become a real sort of a development tool as far as doing the coding for the blog and writing up the reviews.
So for your blogging, then, do you think having the cameras in the new iPad 2 is going to benefit you? Do you do anything with video or photos and things like that?
I actually do professionally in my job. What I do is work with video on the internet and specifically with encoding and codecs. And so it would be a lot of fun to get into that. I do have the iPhone 4, which gives me the opportunity, but I would like to start integrating that a lot more into my blog.
Very, very cool. And so I have to ask now that you mentioned you review apps and stuff like that, what's one of the coolest apps you've had your hands on lately?
Well, I'm going to have to say Textastic is one of my favorite apps because that is the one that I usually use for all of my coding. It's great. The updates that they've done recently, adding on the ability for me to work with all of my servers and essentially really work with my code in the way that I need to.
Very cool. I love that app. I'm a programmer myself, too, so that app's great. Do you use that for posting to the blog, too?
I use it for writing the reviews, and then I use the WordPress app for posting to my blog.
Another great app if you're running WordPress. Well, cool. Thanks so much. So if people want to check out your blog and get those app reviews, where should they go?
VidDleMe is the address. That's VIDDLE.me.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. So this morning I got up, of course, like a lot of us, and I checked Twitter and to see who was going to be hanging out at the Apple store. And I saw a tweet from Sebastian, and he came down here, and we're sitting in line waiting for the new iPad 2. So I wanted to start off by asking you, you have an iPad now, right? What's interesting you about upgrading?
It's new. It's Apple. I want it. Do I need it? No, I just want it. So that's it.
Okay, so that kind of leads into the next question then. So if you don't need it, what iPad do you have now, and you're replacing this? Which model are you gonna replace what you have with?
Right now, I have the 16 gigs Wi-Fi model, and I'm gonna replace it by the same one, just because I don't need to put too much content on this. I just use my iPad really to do email, check Twitter and Facebook, and read the news. That's about it.
Right. Well, okay, so related to that, then, the new iPad has some features, doing video. You have a video camera in there. You have the still camera. So you're not planning on taking advantage of that stuff? Because that was one of my concerns, is that I'm going to start eating up some of my storage. I use a lot for apps now, but if I start doing video, iMovie and stuff like that, GarageBand maybe, that I might start eating up space. But that's not a concern for you?
No, it's not really. Like you mentioned, the new video cameras, the only thing I'm going to use the video cameras to FaceTime my mom in France, because I just ordered her one iPad last night, so she's going to get it when she comes next week.
A couple of people have been mentioning FaceTime as one of those things. I'm curious, do you have an iPhone?
Yes.
And do you use FaceTime on that? Do you use FaceTime on the Mac desktop? Is the iPad going to bring something new to the table with respect to FaceTime?
No. I use FaceTime three times in my life to do testing with friends and family. But that's something like I never think about using FaceTime really, So that might change, because my mom lives in France and we're here in California, and we do Skype a lot. So this is definitely going to change now. She's going to have FaceTime, so we can do FaceTime. She can, she doesn't have to be in front of her computer. She can be wherever she wants in her house. And so I'm sure this is going to change now.
Yeah, that is one advantage I think that FaceTime has, and especially with the new Mac desktop client, the fact that you can not have FaceTime running as opposed to Skype. If you're on Skype, you need to kind of have it up and running on your Mac to get that call. I think we also talked a little bit about you have a blog and you do writing about iPhone and Apple products as well. And so will you use it in that capacity?
You mean the iPad? Do I use the iPad for that? I try to. The blog platform is WordPress, and I try to use the WordPress application for iPad, but unfortunately it's not really up to my standards right now. I think it's not up to many blogger standards if you're a pretty heavy blogger. So no, I don't use the iPad for blogging.
And do you use it for even just writing content? We talked to somebody else in line who's using Textastic, which is a great app on the iPad. I've been using that to just do text content, not necessarily the posting. But have you ever done any of that?
I sometimes, rarely, use the Notes application. If I need to type something, I'm just going to use this and email it to me, or I just type an email directly to myself to write a blog post. That's about all I use it for. I'm very minimalist. I'm the minimalist kind of guy.
All right, but we like to have fun. What about games?
Games? What do you think? Angry Birds? Used to be my ringtone, SMS ringtone, actually, for a while. And it stressed out everybody around me every time I had a ringtone and an SMS. So I changed it. But Angry Birds is, of course, like the number one game. I've got the Harbor Master, which is like flight control. Flight Control, obviously, is a big game that I love, too. That's about it.
Yeah, so gaming's fun. We have to use our iPads for games and stuff like that. Any other applications? And then if people want to check out your blog and see what you're writing about Apple and Mac stuff, where should they go?
They should go to iPhonedownloadblog.com, or you can Google iPhone blog, and we are somewhere in the top 2 or 3, depending on the days.
Okay, very cool. Thanks, Sebastian.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we moved down a little bit in the iPad 2 line, and I'm sitting here talking with Dylan. And so, Dylan, do you own an iPad right now?
I don't, no.
Okay, so this is your very first iPad. So, why didn't you pick up the first one, and why are you sitting out here for this one?
I didn't get the first one because I never get the first thing of anything. I always wait, get the bugs out, and always get the second one. So even though there weren't very many bugs or anything, I'd rather just spend the money on the second one, which has all the improvements that everyone wanted from the first one. So,
right, yeah. I mean, it's a smart thing to do. I mean, sometimes picking up the first generation of anything is a little dicey and can be. Yeah, the iPad, it turned out, didn't seem to have too many issues. So I guess that factored into your decision for being out here for this one?
Absolutely.
Is there any kind of particular feature that you're really excited about on the iPad 2?
Probably just the FaceTime, just because I have the 3GS and I don't have that feature, and I didn't want to spend the money for AT&T to get a new one. So I didn't want to break my contract for the Verizon. So this is my compromise, and plus I want to replace my laptop and get 5 times more battery life for surfing Facebook.
Do you use FaceTime on the Mac? Or do you have a Mac? I guess I didn't even ask you that.
I do. I have quite a few Macs. I haven't yet, just because I haven't really took it seriously, I guess, more. Now that I'll have that feature more ready and able to do it, I guess I'll be doing it more often. It's kind of I want to use it for client relations, and I want to create a relationship without actually having to go anywhere and, right. You know, especially with gas money these days, it's save a lot of money.
Right. So I'm assuming you have a lot of clients then that have iPhones and things like that.
Well, probably not quite yet, but enough do. And I just want to be ahead of the curve a little bit to kind of say, start early and then let everyone else kind of catch up to it. So. Yeah.
Up on technology. So we were just taking a look. I was kind of showing you a little bit about iMovie. You know, Apple has some new specific apps for the iPad. You mentioned you have an iPhone 3GS. Are there any apps you're particularly interested in kind of getting your hands on and checking out?
I was watching how they use the GarageBand. I'm terrible. I have no rhythm for anything instrumental. So getting to play with the GarageBand will be really kind of fun because it's kind of idiot-proof. So I'm really excited about that. And I think my dog was really going to like it because I can interact with him a lot, and he likes being a star of the show. So I'm going to do some photos and video of him. So my parents, my wife will be excited to get a lot of footage of that.
Yeah, it's awesome to have these mobile devices. So last question, do you have an idea of which model, which color, and all that kind of stuff you're going to get, or are you kind of deciding as you sit here in line?
Well, I have enough money for a 32 gig, so that would be my limit. I have no idea about the color. I'm not quite sure. I might just get the light just because I want to brag a little bit of prestige, you know. So that's probably my only reasoning, but I still have no idea. I probably won't know until I say when I'm ordering which one I want. So
I lied about the last question, so I'm curious, have you ever sat out in line for another Apple product?
Not Apple. I've done the Chick-fil-A 24-hour thing, and that was really fun. But this will trump it because it's going to be a lot more fun than free Chick-fil-A. So,
well, free Chick-fil-A's are good. That's a pretty darn good chicken sandwich.
It's a very good chicken sandwich, but not as tasty as a new iPad. So,
fair enough. Okay, cool. Thanks, Dylan. I appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you.
All right, so I moved down the line a little bit, and I have Ronnie here. Actually, the first female, well, your second female in line, but the first female I've had a chance to interview. So we were talking a little bit. This is your first iPad, right?
Yes.
And this is also your first time hanging out in a line. So what brought you out?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I got what I wanted. I just kind of held off to get an iPad, and now I really have a reason to get one, and so I wanted to make sure that I could get it because I'm excited now.
Right. So you were aware of the iPad 1, didn't have a need for it. You said you have a need now. So what is that? You were talking a little bit. You have a business?
Yes, I have a little publication called Kid Stuff Etc., and I've upgraded my website, and now you can go to my website, click on a picture of the newest issue. It opens up to a flip page, and you can flip to any of the pages, and when you click on an advertiser, it goes directly to their website. So I wanted to get the iPad for when I go around to look for new advertisers, I can show them exactly what they will be getting on my website.
Right. Right. So you're getting into some digital publishing kind of stuff, and the iPad's becoming pretty popular. We've seen some digital magazines and stuff like that. Have you had a chance to see any of those things on an iPad?
No.
Something you probably want to take a look at. But then also, you bring up another great use case, which is designers and developers and people who have websites and stuff like that, being able to have something, their portfolio, basically, or your work that you can take with you and easily show to people. You think the iPad's going to be a lot more convenient than, say, dragging around a laptop or something like that?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes. It'll fit in my purse. It'll just be easy to carry. I'm going on a trip to Texas in about 3 weeks, so I'll take it with me. And yeah.
I'm curious now, do you think it's going to be strictly for business, or do you think you have some personal uses in mind as well?
Well, I have two teenagers, so I imagine there's going to be some personal use also.
Do you like playing games or movies, videos, that sort of thing? Are you excited or interested in checking out that stuff?
You know, at this point, I've not been so much interested in that, but I think that when I get it, I'll find that there's going to be a lot of things that I'll learn to play with on it. So I'm really excited even for that. And I'm sure that my kids will be able to show me what to do.
Yeah. It's one, you know, I think what you're going to find with the iPad is it's one of those things, and I've talked about this a little bit on my show, where you have a specific use when you buy it, but then you find out that it can do so much more and find a lot more uses for it. So curious, just because I'm asking a lot of people, do you know what size, storage kind of features you're going to get on the one you're going to buy?
Well, I think I'm going to get the 32 3G. And I actually had bought, it was I don't even remember the off-brand. I bought two other ones and eventually sent them back because I just played around with them, wasn't happy with them, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm just going to go for the iPad because that's just the one that I think is going to be the best.
So were those tablet devices or like netbooks, that sort of thing?
Yes, it was one was a netbook, and I don't remember the other one, but I don't know.
So what specifically, they were just too complicated to use or really didn't give you the functionality you needed?
They didn't give me the functionality. They were very, very slow. They wouldn't pull up when I wanted them to pull up, and it was just too frustrating. So I just thought, I'm just going to wait.
All right, so one other question. Your website, where can people go check that out?
It's kidsstuffetc.com. It's kidsstuffetc.com.
Well, very cool. I think you're going to be very happy with your iPad hanging out with us crazy people. It's a lot of fun. So you're going to be a new member of the community, I imagine, very shortly.
Yes, I'm going to be a geek. Woo!
Well, thanks, Ronnie. We appreciate you talking to us.
You bet.
So there you go. With a lot of fun in the line I was in, as you can tell from that audio. We had a great time hanging out, and everybody I was in line with was able to get the model and selection they wanted. Of course, we had to be there earlier. I got there about 8 a.m. Pacific time, so I was there for the full day. Most people didn't start really showing up until later in the afternoon, maybe 2, 3 p.m. The line grew to just over 100 people. As far as the supplies, it seemed like the employees were telling us they were going to get, the people at the back of the line were going to have limited selection, but they thought they were going to have enough units for just about everybody. Maybe not all the choices that everybody wanted to have. So some people might have had to change their mind or maybe left, but we'll have to see. I do think Apple is going to, as I was saying earlier, get new supplies in each day. So it won't hurt to go back and keep checking your Apple retail store or some of the third-party locations, Best Buy, Walmart, Target, and see what they get in day to day. But I think it will be a little bit slim pickings for the next few weeks, month or so, especially when Apple starts going international and starts expanding out that. It's all going to come down to how they can ramp up production overseas and if demand ends up really being higher than they expected, which I'm early indications, as we talked about, seem to be indicating. But we'll give you more details and information as it becomes available. I do have some questions and some things that people wanted to know about. One question I'm getting asked a lot is about reselling your iPad. Not only the values, which seem to be pretty good. If you have an iPad 1, I'm hearing prices in the $300, $400, $500 range. For $500 is kind of on the high end, but $300 to $400 for older devices, depending on the configuration and condition and things like that, if you want to go on Craigslist or eBay. A little bit lower if you want to use some of the third-party services that give you upfront offers like Gazelle. But still, the iPads seem to be holding their value.
But a question I had from someone who wanted to know about reselling his iPad was, what do you do about the data? You have your data on there. How do you make sure that it's removed and safe and so that you can hand it off and not have to worry about that stuff getting out there? So if you're wanting to put your iPad or any iOS device, for that matter, back to its what I call out-of-box condition, basically setting it up in the way so that when you hand it off, the new person plugs it into their iTunes and it pops up and asks them to configure and set it up just like it was brand new, it's pretty easy to do. Apple provides all the tools that you need. You can do it either through iTunes or even directly on the device itself. Apple has a tech info article with all of the steps that you need to take. I'll have a link to that in the show notes at maccast.com. But the basic summary is, first, plug it into iTunes. Go ahead and let it sync and back up so you have that last backup in case that anything goes wrong with this procedure. But it's pretty foolproof. You launch iTunes, connect the device, and then you go to the device source list. And then go to the summary tab and then just click the restore button like you normally would for restoring the iPad. Let it go through the process, do the restoration. And then once that's done, what it'll do is it'll ask you what you want to do. Do you want to restore from backup or do you want to set up as new? At that point, if you're going to be handing it off, you can go ahead and just stop. You can eject the device, and after you sell it, the person goes to plug it into their iTunes, it will pop up and say, do you want to set this up as a new device? They're obviously not going to have your backup, so they're not going to be able to restore from backup. If you're just restoring it yourself, you can click the set up as new process and go through that procedure, but you probably want to let the buyer actually do that. If you want to do it on the iOS device yourself, what you can do, it's basically the same procedure as if you went through the remote wipe. And this is a good thing to note as well. Using the Find My iPhone service, which is now free, you can log into that and send a wipe command to the iPhone. And you can do that remotely. So that's great if you sold your iPad and forgot to do it maybe, or if you lost your iPad or iOS device. But if you actually have the iOS device, you can go into the settings, into the general area, and then tap on the reset section. And then there's an option in there that says erase all content and settings. Now, before you do that, make sure that you do have a backup, because clicking that is going to remove all of the data from the device, and you're going to have to set it up as a new device next time you plug it into your iTunes. So be aware of that. But a couple different things, dependent upon which model you have, doing this procedure functions a little bit differently. If you have one of the newer devices that supports the hardware encryption, that would be an iPhone 3GS, an iPhone 4, any of the iPads 1 or 2, or a third or fourth generation iPod Touch, they all have encryption. So clicking that button, erase all content and settings, actually erases the information by just deleting the encryption key to the data. So with those devices, all of the data on the device is actually stored completely encrypted, and you just get access to it because the encryption key is there. Once that encryption key is removed, the data is still on the device, but because it's encrypted, it's basically garbled. The information can't be accessed, it can't be used, and so when the new person gets the device, it's just going to go ahead and write their own data over top of that, and you're going to be fine. The great thing about that is the erase procedure only takes a few minutes for those devices. If you don't have one of those devices, you have another device, say like an older iPhone 3G or an older iPod Touch, clicking that button is actually going to write a series of ones over the entire data partition. And that process can take several hours, and you're going to want to be plugged into power as you do that, because if you lose power during that operation, you're going to have to go back, you're going to have to restore the device in iTunes, and then you could go through the original procedure that I described to reset the device in iTunes, or you could restore it back and then do the erase on the device itself. But you're going to have to repeat that procedure if you lose power doing the erase all contents and settings. So that's how you do it. That's how you put it back to the factory settings if you want to sell your old device. And I did get some confirmation from a resident security expert, George Starcher, about how secure it is with the encrypted data stuff. And he says, basically, because it's that garbled information, you don't have to worry. Once that encryption key is gone, your data is safe, and that's a great way to go. He even noted that it's probably better than doing the series of ones and zero, or series of ones overwrite to the partition, but both processes are going to get rid of your data and get rid of it in a very secure fashion, so you don't have to worry about it. The last tip I have for you today is one for those of you who maybe aren't upgrading to a new iPad 2, but want to try out iMovie. It turns out you can actually get it up and running on your iPad 1 if you're willing to deal with a little bit of hassles. So I really wouldn't recommend this for anybody other than somebody who's really diehard and you just want to see what iMovie looks like on the iPad. You want to try the experience. I don't think it's very practical for keeping it on the iPad in the long run because it affects some of your ability to sync data in iTunes. I worked up a write-up with Brian Chafin over at the Mac Observer, and that's posted over on macobserver.com. I'll have a link to it in the show notes that describes the actual procedure. But basically, when you get iMovie for the iPad or the iPhone, when you do the sync, it actually does a check on the capabilities of the device, sees that it can install. I tried it on my iPad 1 from iTunes. It looked like it was going to install iMovie, but then at the last minute, it actually removes it back off. So I was trying to find a way to actually get it on my iPad 1. Well, it turns out that Apple has a tool called the iPhone Configuration Utility. You can download it for free from Apple. So this really isn't a hack. You don't have to jailbreak. You don't have to do anything that will mess up your iPad. The tool is typically for IT professionals to configure and set up groups of iPads or iPhones. And so you can load applications directly from that software. You need to get the latest version. Apple updated it about a week ago. But once you have that, what you can do is you can load iMovie into that as an application to install, and then you can select your iPad from the configuration utility and go to the Applications tab and install iMovie directly onto it. What it looks like is that this utility doesn't do the checking that iTunes does, so it will go ahead and install iMovie on the iPad. Once you've done that, you can disconnect your iPad and you can play around with iMovie. iMovie will allow you to access any videos that are in the Photos application, so you can grab video from there. If you want to sync video over to play with beforehand, go ahead and do that. And it seems to perform pretty well. I played around with it on my iPad 1. Didn't have any problems putting in the transitions. There were maybe a couple little slow points. I'm going to have to compare it to how the experience is on the iPad 2, but it did work. Now, here's the big gotchas and caveats. Once you've gone through this procedure with the iPhone configuration utility, the next time you dock your iPad into iTunes and it starts to try and sync over your applications, it's going to see iMovie as being there, but not authorized for being on that iPad through the iTunes authorizations. So it pops up an alert, asks you to authorize iMovie, and when you attempt to do it, the authorization doesn't stick. The good news is there is it doesn't burn up one of your iTunes authorizations. The bad news is that you kind of get stuck in this authorization loop. So asks you to authorize, you put in your username and password, checks with Apple, and then it comes back, and then it keeps asking you to authorize over and over again. So that can get really annoying. You can go ahead and hit cancel in that dialog, and it will let you have your iPad docked into iTunes. The problem is hitting that cancel cancels any other sync that might go on. So if you have new photos that you wanted to sync over, you have data that you want to transfer back and forth, that's not going to happen during the sync process. The good news is, though, it will show up in iTunes, and you can actually get your iMovie data through the file management system built into iTunes on or off the iPad. So this is a good thing if you want to back up some of the iMovie projects that you played around with, because to get your syncing capability back, the only thing you can do in iTunes is actually deauthorize the iMovie app when that dialog pops up. And doing that, that will actually remove iMovie from the iPad. So the workaround that I've been playing around with, and it's pretty convoluted, but what I have to do is load iMovie onto the iPad through the configuration tool as I described, play around with iMovie, get the project set up, you export the project on iMovie on the iPad, Then you dock it into iTunes. You cancel the authorization process and then move the movie projects off of the iPad. Once you've done that, you can go ahead and then try syncing again. Tell it not to authorize iMovie. It will remove iMovie from the device, but then you can actually sync over all of your new data, your applications, and things like that. And then to get iMovie back on, you're going to have to use the configuration utility again, put iMovie back on, and then dock it back into iTunes and move your iMovie projects back to iMovie on the iPad. So as you can see, a very big hassle, really messes up your syncing, and all just to play around with iMovie on the iPad 1. But if you want to do it, you certainly can go through that procedure. And again, a full write-up over on MacObserver.com, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. So that's kind of it for iPad 2 launch day and some of the things. We're going to get a lot more information, a lot more details, and we'll be back with more Mac news and Apple geekery on the next episode of the MacCast. But for now, I want to take a moment, thank all of my show sponsors, Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. You can check out their software and get free trials over at circusponies.com. Smile, check out Text Expander, PDF Pen, Disk Label, all really cool products. And you can find information and details as well as trials over at smilesoftware.com. And Pharonix, makers of Deep Freeze, PowerSave Mac, check out their stuff and get trials over at pharonix.com. Huge thank you to all of my sponsors for their support of the MacCast. Thanks to you. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts, opinions, reviews of your iPad 2s, the accessories, a lot of accessories we didn't talk about. We'll be talking about those on future episodes of the MacCast. Look forward to that. But if you want to send your feedback, your comments, your emails, questions, send those to maccast@gmail.com or call in on the listener hotline 281-622-4269, 281-MAC-IM-9. You can leave a voicemail. Please leave your email address, and if you can spell it out for me, that's greatly appreciated. You can also call in on Skype. I have a Skype voicemail. The Skype address is the MacCast. And check out the MacCast.com website. There you'll find show notes and links to everything that I talked about in this or any other episode of the MacCast. And while you're there, be sure to check out the MacCast forum. That's at forum.maccast.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MacCast, or over on Facebook, facebook.com/TheMacCast. That's going to do it for this time. Until next time, I will talk to you all again real soon.